Welcome to the People and Projects Podcast, where you'll find interviews and insights to help you deliver projects and lead teams. You can find us on the web at peopleandprojectspodcast.com. Hi, this is Andy Coffin, President of the Institute for Leadership Excellence Development Corporate. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the People and Projects Podcast. This episode is sponsored by the Leadership Fast Track Program. Each year, we take a group of aspiring leaders from around the world and combine assessments, executive coaching, and learning sessions to help you accelerate your ability to lead and deliver. Check out the show notes for a link to learn more. So let me ask you, how much did your schooling prepare you for the real world at work? I can find plenty of examples where mine did, and yet there's so many lessons that I didn't really start to learn until I spent extended time in the real world. You know, one of the lessons that eventually becomes clear is that managing is not just managing down, leading those people who report to us. In fact, the higher I got in organizations, the more I found I needed to manage up to, in many ways, lead my boss. That's a lesson I don't remember being taught in a textbook, I have to tell you. Now, whether you're a project manager, a team member, or a senior leader, we all have a boss. And learning to lead our boss is a key skill that must be developed. Earlier this year, I had a conversation with leadership expert John Baldoni. John is the author of many books, including Leading Up, How to Lead Your Boss So You Both Win. Let's see what John has to say about how you and I can more effectively lead our boss. John Baldoni is an internationally recognized leadership consultant, coach, author, and speaker. For two consecutive years, John has been named one of the world's top 25 leadership experts by Top Leadership Gurus International. John has published 9 books, including Lead Your Boss, The Subtle Art of Managing Up, which was named a best leadership book by Leadership Now. John speaks widely to corporate, professional, military, and university audiences, and is a regular online contributor to the Harvard Business Review. John, welcome to the People and Projects Podcast.
Thank you, Andy. I'm honored to be here.
You know, John, I look back to when I graduated from college. I now realize how dumb I really was. I mean, I had a degree, I had plenty of knowledge, but I was basically more clueless than I knew.
Well, I think that's called the accumulation of wisdom over time. In other words, aging, if we pay attention.
Oh, man, I'd like to think so. But, you know, there is that difference between what the school's teaching and how that's really done in the real world. And I have to tell you, John, one of those lessons I had to learn, and perhaps the hard way, was that managing wasn't just managing down. I mean, and part of it is, I think for years I just had these easy bosses, and relatively speaking, but the higher I got up, the tougher they got, and the more it was just more apparent that I had to be proactive in managing up. So when did that lesson become clear in your leadership journey?
Well, I want to draw a distinction between managing up and leading up. Managing up is taking care of things for your boss, administrative details, covering for your boss, those kinds of things. Yeah. Leading up is the process of being holistic, thinking with the mindset of a CEO, hey, what does it take to run this organization, but with the authority of a middle manager or wherever you are. Leading up is very strategic and holistic. Managing up is tactical and practical. To be an effective one who leads up effectively, you need to know how to manage up. But I did want to draw that distinction. Yeah. Where the origin of the book, the concept of leading up, comes from my coaching work. I do work with a lot of folks who have been challenged to be more strategic. And that usually hits them out of the blue, and they don't really know what it means. Mm-hmm. And so my coaching has led me to develop the concept of what it takes to lead up. And a good resource on this topic also is a person who's been a great inspiration to me is Michael Youssef, who wrote a book called Leading Up about 12 years ago. So yeah. There is literature out there on it.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that reference. In fact, I'll put a link to that in the show notes for this cast. You know, I had a conversation with a C-level executive who's a chief information officer, and we're talking about this concept of managing up. And we didn't draw the distinction between the leading up or managing up. But in short, it's in front of a group of is a leadership development workshop. And his take on this was, you know, people who worry about managing up, they're just worrying about the wrong thing. I mean, just focus on delivering and the rest is taken care of. So, John, you know, in what ways do you agree with him and what ways do you disagree with him?
I agree with his premise where he's coming from. In other words, I think he's equating to with managing up to sucking up,
yeah.
to you know taking care of my boss. And he's right to say that. You have to focus on doing what your job entails and focus on that. But you need to be able to read your boss. What does my boss need? How can I help him or her do his or her job better? That's where you start getting into the leading up process.
Mm-hmm.
And leading up, again, is that strategic big picture, looking at the organization as a whole, and then how does my department, whether be it logistics, marketing, human resource, whatever it is, how does what I do complement the whole of the organization? So it's an alignment exercise, but it's big picture thinking in a sense that helps the organization grow and achieve. And a lot of it is really basic stuff of demonstrating initiative,
mm-hmm.
being a go-getter, those kinds of things, thinking that I can make a positive difference.
Yeah. In my experience, it's one thing to have a boss who's relatively easygoing, you know, and when it comes to influencing them, you know, if we have years of rapport and a lot of credibility built up with them, that's one thing. But inevitably, we get that new boss, and maybe they don't know us well, or they're just much more challenging. And so what are some of the first things you'd recommend people do to build their ability to influence their boss? And if you want to make the distinction between the managing and the leading, that would be great. Maybe on both of them. But what are some of those first things?
Well, let's be honest. Every boss cannot be led up. And you didn't ask this, but there are bully bosses, toxic bosses. And I don't mean bosses with a temper.
Right.
Don't try to lead them up. But a new boss is right to be reserved. You need to earn your trust as he or she needs to earn trust with you. So how do you do that? Well, there's three simple things you need to be able to lead up. The first thing is competent. Yeah, can I do the work? Yeah. Credibility. Do others believe I can do the work? And confidence. Do I believe I can do a really great job? You need that competence, credibility, and confidence to be able to be that effective leader. Establishing that competence with a boss is executing.
Hmm.
When your boss asks you to do something, do it.
Yeah.
And do it with shining colors. Earn that trust. Don't come in with the big new grand ideas until you've gotten your work done.
Yeah.
Leading up is also that process of being an assistance to your boss. Here's what the company's doing. What do you think we could do? I think we could do this. Route the thing through the boss. So you shine a light on your boss. You make him or her look good. That's part of the managing up, I suppose, process too. But it's really thinking, holistically for the organization. But when it comes to you and your boss, you got to demonstrate that you can do the job, first of all. And you have to be credible. You have to be trustworthy. And then when that happens, not only should you have a sense of confidence in your own abilities, your boss will have confidence in you.
The same CIO I mentioned before, one of his lines was, credibility is currency. And that I found it to be a helpful phrase is, it doesn't matter what I say or do. I mean, ultimately, it's have I built up that credibility? And yet, I have to tell you, John, sometimes people think the line, help them look good, is the same as sucking up. So how would you differentiate those?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I'm somebody who believes that politics is the art of the possible.
Mm.
Call me naive. So you got to go along to get along, as the great Speaker of the House, Sam Rayburn, says. So it's a give and take process. Yeah, you want to make your boss look good. Why? Well, it makes you look good, too.
Mm.
So it's how you're doing it. And what you're trying to do is you're making your boss look good so your team shines, so that you perform well, and it comes back at you too. So that's a positive thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I
can buy that. I think it's how you look at it. Ultimately, I'm not doing it purely for only selfish reasons as much as this is good for all of us. When they do well, we all do well. That's kind of the idea. And related to this, I can also think of some coaching clients who have said in the past, man, my boss is a micromanager. I mean, this person is a micromanager, and often I'll try to reframe that as, well, if they're micromanaging, it could be they just don't trust you yet. What are you doing to develop that trust? It could be that it's not some sort of pathological problem on their part. It's just that you haven't developed that credibility. Any thoughts on that?
Absolutely. It also comes down to communication. You need to understand how your boss likes to be communicated to. And that means frequency. It means level of detail. Some bosses want a lot of detail. Other bosses don't want much detail at all. A boss who may tend to, you think, is micromanaging is probably someone who needs lots of detail. And you might be taking a big picture approach to it, and you're not giving him or her the detail that he or she needs to be comfortable in with you.
Yeah.
So, and part of that is, you know, how does your boss like to interact with you, by phone, via email, face to face? And this is always a challenge, of course, in so many organizations where we are separated by great distances, even continents. So how do you create that rapport? Well, you have a conversation. You know, how often do you want to do this? What kind of a boss is your boss? Is he open, you know, gregarious type, likes to shoot the breeze with you?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he more closed up and just business? So you tailor your communication style to the needs of your boss. You may be able to swing him over time once you've established your credibility, your competence, and sense of confidence. You may be able to swing him or her over to your side and your style, but the boss, you connect. It's our job with our bosses to connect with them the way they want to be connected to. That's how you establish your credibility.
Man, I'm so glad you brought that up, John. I'd have to say it's one of the top 3 to 5 lessons I've learned when it comes to influence, is that adjusting my style to the other person. And there's so much we could pour into that, maybe in a separate discussion. But I appreciate you bringing that one up. You know, we've got a lot of people who are project managers, they're team leaders, maybe department heads who are listening to us. And let's say they're being asked to deliver a project in, well, let's say 3 months, but they're strongly convinced they'll need at least 5. Okay. And it's not just opinion, but they've got a lot of data behind that. So let's also say their boss is one of these tough ones. You know, she doesn't like no for an answer. So what advice do you have for the listener in this situation to influence that boss?
Well, the first thing is, don't be confrontational. Mm-hmm. Don't lead with the no. Let's have a conversation about this. Talk about your point of view. You can articulate your business case. And then advocate from the perspective of your team. You're talking about managers, you're talking about project leaders. Talk about the workload on them. It's not about you, it's about the team. You're the representative of that team. You're responsible for them. Then have this in your course of your conversation to your boss, saying, I know this is three months, I think it's going to take 5. What do you want us to give up? You know, what can we do to achieve your aims? Because we're going to have to let go of certain things. How can we achieve your end? So it's a process of negotiation.
Yeah.
But you don't lead with the no. I'm also somebody who also believes that no is not always a negative. And what I mean for that is, that's when you're standing up for your team.
Mm-hmm.
When you're saying, hey, this is a 5-month project. This isn't a 3-month project. If you wanted to achieve it in 3 months, we're going to have to scale the scope. Or we're going to have to give up other things we're doing now, because I'm not going to ask my team to work inordinate hours, because I don't think that's productive for them. They'll do it for a short period of time, but overall, not only am I burning out my own people, they're not going to be able to deliver the effort that this project demands. So you have a conversation about that. It's the process of negotiation. And are there some bosses who simply do not care and won't listen? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you've got to figure out a different kind of strategy, what you can do and what you can't do. And that's where organizations get in a lot of trouble doing that, but it happens all the time. But if you're in a sense where you can have this conversation, and, you know, negotiate, articulate the business case, never let it be personal. Okay?
Yeah.
If you're talking about data, you lead with your data. We need to do this for XYZ. This will take time due to testing and compliance, regulation, whatever the issues are, how this is going to work. Some bosses will be amenable to that. Others may not. But you put your best case forward. And in preparation for this, you go into your boss, you think through what you want to say, you think through the conversation. Mm-hmm. What will my boss react to? What are the pushback points? She doesn't want to hear this. He doesn't want to hear that. How do I address that? How do I tee it up so that we have an open and honest dialogue?
Yeah, it is clearly some bosses are more interested in having a dialogue than others, but I love your bias on this, John, towards you have to try. I mean, don't just cave and say, you know, write the person off. At least have to try. And I also like your emphasis there on, well, anticipate. I mean, don't just, we like to sometimes call it show up and throw up. Don't show up and throw up, right? I mean, to really think through what would be the best way to influence this person. And I had a C-level executive tell me once, he goes, I teach my people to never say no. We say yes, but. And I thought it was a little cheesy at first when he said it, but the idea was the bias towards yes, like you were saying, yes, we can do this. This is what we need to make it happen, which is a whole different thing than, oh, sorry, chief, you know, can't
right.
make it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and this really kind of gets to one of the many reasons why I like your book, Lead Your Boss, because in some ways it's about leading up, but in other ways it's really about influence for anybody. And remind me of John Maxwell's point that at its essence, leadership is influence. You know, John, you're clearly a highly regarded voice on leadership. If you had to pick just a few of the top real world lessons that aspiring leaders need to learn to grow in their ability to influence, what comes to mind?
Well, I have a very simple working definition of leadership.
Yeah.
Good leaders do what the organization needs them to do. That's very easy when the wind is at your back and the sails are up. It's very tough when the wind is against you and your sails are flapping. So doing what you need doing, there's a little mantra I teach regularly. It's leaders do three things. Be seen, be heard, be there. Mm-hmm. Be seen means be there, be available, let people see you. Being heard means articulate a message, stay on message. Also, listen to your people. Being there is the metaphorical. That means doing whatever it takes to get the job done and to ensure that your people have the resources to do that. I know people, CEOs of small companies that will actually get down and do the manual labor during crunch time. Are they doing that all the time? No. But during crunch times, they're one of the people or one of the employees to get the job done. The other time, you know, in times of crisis, the leader is there so people can see, hear, touch, and feel that person, feel the presence of him. Mm-hmm. He's there as a resource, as doing what the organization needs doing. I think the effective leadership is really focusing on others. You might call that a kind of service, sense of servant leadership. Robert Greenleaf has written extensively about that topic. But it's really serving the needs of the organization so that others thrive. Good leaders, good managers put people in positions where they can achieve. And there's this little saying I say that leadership is all about you, but leadership is not about you. It's not about you in the sense that you need your leaders accomplish very little by themselves, but they put people into positions where they can succeed and they provide them with resources. Yet leadership is all about you because you're the one providing the resources or putting people into those positions. So it's the yin and the yang of the leadership. So, but essentially, you know, doing what the organization needs doing, that's what effective leaders do.
Yeah, and looking for those opportunities and say, you know, taking that initiative. You know, I really like your emphasis on those three, John, because I can think of plenty of people that would be typical listeners to this podcast who really aspire to go higher in the organization or have more influence and yet be seen. It's very easy just to stick to my laptop or stick to my office or stick to my cubicle because I'm so busy and not be visible. And there really is something about out of sight, out of mind, and it's hard to make a difference there. And you're be heard. There are a lot of times I can think of a number of coaching clients who said, I get intimidated when I'm in these meetings with senior executives. I feel like I can't speak up because they're so much higher than me. And yet good leaders who want to grow need to be heard. You know, what is the message? Am I listening and speaking up? And then the be there in this world of technology. I mean, people listening to us right now are driving, they're doing email, we're multitasking so much, and it's very easy for us as leaders to to be looking over someone's shoulder when we're actually trying to have a conversation with that person. Being there, I love your emphasis on be seen, be heard, be there. That's great advice. You know, if you, in addition to Lead Your Boss, John, if you had to pick one of your books to most recommend to people if they wanted to grow in their leadership skills, what would you pick?
The book that came before that, which is Lead by Example. It's a collection of 50 lessons that leaders need to learn to create followership. Yeah. And it's all about setting the right example. It's about putting the team first. It's about handling the tough issues. And it's about acting the role of a leader. So that is a good resource for actually leaders at any level. That book is taught in a freshman leadership class, and it's also CEOs read it. It's a pretty broad spectrum there, and it's just, you know, tactical and practical things that leaders can do to be of service to the organization, be there for their people, and hey, achieve results. That's where the outcome of leadership is, to achieve our intended results.
Absolutely. John, I found it's very easy for me and for guests who've written books and speak all over the world. It's easy for all of us to dish out ideas and recommendations about leadership and influence, but it can be difficult at times to practice what we teach. So of all that you share in your speaking and your writing on leadership and your communication, motivation, and the broad topics that you speak on, what's the most difficult for you to practice yourself?
Oh, I am very much a work in progress. I'm somebody who's blessed with a sense of high drive, so motivation is not a challenge for me. But all you have to do is ask my wife, and she'll tell you that I could use quite a bit of help in communication. So, and I think that's true of a lot of us in a sense, but communication in the sense that we think we're communicating, but we're really not. We're really not connecting to another individual. We're not listening enough, and that goes to a spouse, a family member, our clients. Are we listening effectively to them? Are we in tune with their needs? So that's really the thing that for me, it's, you know, slowing things down so that I am really connecting to people in an authentic way. And I think that's a challenge for every leader.
I think so.
Certainly applies to me.
Yeah. I think for me, John, and this one is when I know I need to adjust my style when I'm trying to influence someone, but sometimes, especially when it's a high stress situation or this, you know, the stakes are high, it's difficult for me to remember to make that adjustment. And yet I'm sure we both have myriads of stories of if you can adjust your style a little bit more to that other person, it can be so much more effective. And though I know it, it's sometimes difficult for me to practice it.
Without question.
You know, John, I got to tell you, it's a real pleasure to talk with you today. For those who are listening, you want to improve your ability to influence your boss or those around you, or just become a more effective leader, I recommend you get a copy of John's book, Lead Your Boss, The Subtle Art of Managing Up, as well as the book that John mentioned, Lead by Example. I also recommend you check out johnbaldoni.com. You'll find links to videos and articles and other resources to help you and your organization lead. I put links to John's website and books in the show notes for this cast. John, I've enjoyed the opportunity to speak with you. Thank you for joining us on the People and Projects podcast.
Thank you, Andy. You do good work, and it's a privilege to speak to you today.
I appreciate it, man.
Well, make sure to check out the links in the show notes for more about John, his organization, and the books we discussed in the interview. Hey, quick note, the People and Projects podcast is now on Facebook. Check the show notes for the link to our page. If you're a Facebook user, I invite you to stop by and like the page and join the discussion. I'll see you there. Well, thank you for joining me for this episode of the People and Projects podcast. Have a great week.
Let me do with that question four there. What do you think?
Just shoot it to me. I'll figure something out.
Okay. Well, you do look very good on your feet. Everything I was doing to watch you, I actually had to stop watching you and start finishing the questions because you're an engaging guy, John. Clearly, you've been doing this for many years, and really,
you're very kind. You're very kind, Andy. Thank you for those. I appreciate you saying that.
No, it's my pleasure, and it's fun to. My biggest regret is when I run across somebody like you and think, how did it take me this long to find you? You know, it's one of those things you've been making a difference out there for years, but I was clearly looking in the wrong areas.
Well, I mean. Well, again, thank you. I don't know if I'm but I appreciate the kind words.
Hi, John. You're good, man.
Thank you, Andy.
You've done this before.
Yes, good questions.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I feel like there's so much more on the leadership side we could talk about, but I'm going to definitely get a copy of that, the Lead by Example. Not only is it a great title and a great idea, I think sometimes, you know, one of the things I get from your as I read about you is you don't try to throw out just a lot of theory. You try to keep it practical so, you know, people can actually go and take action on. Does that sound about right?
That's exactly what I try to do. Thank you. Thank you for saying that, because that's what I try to do.